Let's
Merry
read
Christmas, everyone.
Part of the Christmas story found in Luke chapter 2. I love the Christmas story because it's so full of miracles and evidence of God, how much He loves us, and He's here with us. Do you have your Bibles? Are you ready? Okay, we'll just read chapter 2, verse 1. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
I love Christmas. It's my favorite holiday of the year. I love it. I love everything about it. I love being out in the malls. I love shopping. I love trying to figure out what would surprise people. I just, everything speaks to me at Christmas time so much. I preached this years and years ago, this one thing I said that even when you walk into like a Walmart or a Canadian Tire and the doors open up in front of you, it reminds me of whosoever will may come, right? That the door opens for everyone. Doesn't matter. Short, tall, black, white, fat, skinny, whatever way, it loves you all and opens up for you all. And Jesus is just like that. Thinking today, as Christine read that scripture at dinner time, of, you know, like we sometimes read through these stories so fast, but what would it have been like when Mary was holding the Son of God in her arms, knowing that her responsibility was to raise this child? Like, what? How do you do that? Right? But, like, it was just, it must have felt so weird and so beautiful and so awesome and so everything all and scary at the same time. I think about the shepherds just minding their own business, sitting around the fire trying to keep warm and look after the sheep, and all of a sudden the whole sky lights up and there's like angels. I don't know, I never seen an angel, but I'm pretty sure if I'm out by a fire and an angel shows up, I'm going to have to go to the bathroom after that, because it's like, that would be freaky. But a whole pile of angels show up, and they're just sitting there, and they're like minding their own business, and they're hearing like, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward man." Like, it's like, what do you do? You know, and 2,000 years later, we sort of just take things for granted. Like, it was just a nice story, but it wasn't just a nice story. It happened. The Son of God came from heaven to earth to us. He was born on earth to change our course. The world was dark. The world was separated from God. The world was so far from Him. And God brought us back in that one redemptive act of sending His Son. His Son living a perfect life. His Son being willing to go all the way and go to the cross for you and me. Because when we celebrate Christmas, we also have to know that there's a cross that shadows over Christmas. There's His birth, but it also was His death that we were celebrating even today. That Jesus came and He was born. So Christmas is really, really cool. I love sitting around, you know, with the boys and trying to figure it out. Now, they aren't as much fun as they used to be, because, like, they're 16 and 14 now. and like trying to buy something that's really cool for them or something they really like is a little bit more challenging. It's harder to hide it, harder to figure out, you know, how to sneak something by them and get them something. But I always still love the challenge. Even today I was wrapping up gifts and I was trying to make little things look big and big things look little and, you know, just trying to confuse people and make it so it's hard to guess. And I still love that game. We were talking today because we do stockings for the kids for Christmas. And so they get us something in their stocking every day. You know, like, you know, just little things, hockey cards or, you know, Jones root beer or, you know, just little things, just kind of cool. And Christine was kind of complaining because nobody put anything in hers. Right? And I'm like, so where is yours? Right? So anyway, hers was hanging on the door in our hallway, and I'm like, ugh. So I gotta go get a coffee. I'm just busting myself right now because. So I ran into town. You know, I bought some chocolate mints because she loves that, and I bought her, you know, a Tim Hortons new mug, and just stuffed her stocking right full, and then just, you know, let her discover it. And then I'm like, well, why didn't you check your stocking before you said that? Because you should check, right? And she's like, well, was it there all the time? I said, it's been there for a while, you know, about 20 minutes. But like, so, you know, it's just part of the fun of Christmas. It's just pulling it off and seeing the awe and the wonder in people's eyes. I love that. I love that look. I love that feeling that you surprised someone, that you gave them something that they really liked. What other time of year do you really feel the kind of goodwill that you feel at Christmas time? When? Like, it's like, you know, other times of the year, you know, somebody could be rude to you, and you're kind of like, you're an idiot. And at Christmas, you're kind of like, oh, well, it's okay. Malls are busy. Well, you can't help it. Bless your heart, right? What other time of year will people give till it hurts, like Christmas time? People don't. But this is the example that God gave us at Christmas. Give till it hurts. Because he gave his son. Gave his son to us on Christmas. So, I just want to just kind of try and flip things a little bit. Because, like, I don't know if any of you feel the way I do about gifts and giving and things like that. But I think a lot of people do. I think people try hard to do things that are surprising and kind of, you know, stunning to people. And if we flip it the other way, though, let's think about what God did. And think about his anticipation. Think about what he feels like as we're unwrapping some of the gifts that he gave us at Christmas time. Because he gave us some amazing things. This is what it says in Ephesians 4, verse 8 to 11. It says, he climbed the high mountain. He captured the enemy and seized the booty. He handed it all out in gifts to the people. It's true. Is it not that the one who climbed up also climbed down to the valley of earth? And the one who climbed down is the one who climbed back up to highest heaven. He handed out gifts above and below, filled heaven with gifts, filled earth with his gifts. So as I'm like sitting there wrapping gifts, even today, I'm thinking of what will their faces be like? What will it be like when they open this? Because I really tried hard to do some unique things again this year. Right? But then I'm thinking, like, what would God, like, because this is what verse was telling, how Jesus rose to heaven. He went down to the depths of hell. He rose again and came back to earth, and he gives gifts all over the place. Gifts. What would he be feeling as we sit here tonight? Because this is sort of the celebration of his birth, but was really, his birth was a gift to us. Right? He gave to us. And so what would he feel like? So have you ever received one of those gifts where it's just like you keep unwrapping and there's more gifts in a box? Well, Jesus was like that. He was that kind of gift. It was like not just one gift, but it was several gifts all wrapped into one. Today, I want to sit down and just unwrap a couple of these gifts. So here's what the Bible says in Galatians 4, verse 4 to 5. It says, but when the time arrived that was set by God the Father, God sent his Son, born among us of a woman, born under the conditions of the law, so that he might redeem those of us who have been kidnapped by the law. Thus, We have been set free to experience our rightful heritage. And this is what it is. In Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7, it says, "A child has been born for us. We have been given a son who will be our ruler. His names will be Wonderful Advisor, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. His power will never end. Peace will last forever. He will rule David's kingdom and make it grow strong. He will always rule with honesty and justice. The Lord All-Powerful will make certain that all of this is done." A child has been born to us. A son has been given who will rule us. And that's the beauty of Christmas. So the first gift I think we can unwrap in this package is the gift that Jesus is a wonderful counselor. You know, have you ever been in a spot where you just needed help, like just to think things through or to sort things out or just to figure out a way forward? Been in those places many times. I think God made the first gift, Mighty Counselor, Wonderful Counselor, because He knew we'd have 100,000 questions. I've got a million questions all the time. God, why this? What about that? What should we do here? What can I do there? I've been in situations, I'll tell you, since I started pastoring, where just sometimes, like, I don't know. There's just so many things that sometimes as a pastor you need to know. Like, you know, people are going through financial stuff and they want you to help them sort that out. And people are going through marriage problems, want to help sort that out. People are going through death and dying and you got to help them sort through that. And birth and like, you know, pressure and stress and fear. And it's like, I'm just, you know, Ralph, right? But because of the gift of Wonderful Counselor, it's the gift of wisdom. When we need wisdom, the Bible says we can ask God who gives to all men liberally. He gave us the gift of wisdom so we could know what to do. If you need wisdom tonight, God's looking down right now, just like you're going to be looking, whether you open gifts tonight or if you open gifts tomorrow morning, and you're going to be watching the faces of the people as they open the gift. And God wants to see that look come across your face when you actually get that He gave you wisdom. He gave you, He's your counselor. He's with you. He'll give you the advice you need and the help you need. When we're going through things, He wants to help us. He has an answer. He is the answer. He's got it. This is what Matthew 11, chapter or verse 28 says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest. It's the first gift. It's an amazing gift. You know, just sometimes we rush so much into things. We rush headlong. We don't stop. We don't, you know, nothing. This is honestly some of the best advice someone ever gave me. This decision doesn't need to be made today. You can take time. You need to take time. You need to ask God. You need to allow Him to speak to you, give you wisdom. That's one of the gifts that's in Jesus. A son has been born to us. A child has been given. And His name is Wonderful Counselor. I want to keep calling Him Mighty Counselor, but He's mighty too. But next one is He is Mighty God. Mighty God. We're not talking about idols. We're not talking about little carved out statues. We're not talking about that. We're talking about Big G God, the God of the universe, the way, the truth, the life, the almighty, the powerful. And what that is, might. Mighty God, might is power. Might is ability. God has got it. So many times we're trying to fix everything ourselves, but if we would just rely on the present that God has given us, that He is might, He is mighty. He can overcome your stuff. He can help you through what you're going through. And He thought about all this before. When He was shopping, when He was preparing the perfect gift for you, He knew that you would need His help. He knew that you would need Him to come alongside and help you. He is God. He's your God, but you belong to Him. He's our mighty God. The next gift that He gave us is that He's everlasting Father. He's an everlasting Father. And like at Christmas time, my dad passed away 8 years ago now at Christmas time. And it was like, you know, one of the greatest gifts to me in God now is that He's my Father. Because fathers are amazing. If you have a good dad, fathers are amazing. Fathers give you the, just, it's going to be all right. It's going to be fine. Don't worry. It's not a big panic. It's not a big, don't get all worked up. They know how to calm you down. They know how to make you feel a little bit bigger than you are, right? I think like sometimes when we get a chance to talk to our dad about something, we just feel stronger. We feel bigger. We feel better about life. Because fathers have that way about us. Fathers have a way of cheering for us when we're doing good, right? Of propping us back up and setting us back to the battle when things are going tough. About helping us to stay humble, right? Because dads always just tell you the way it is, right? And to stay strong. And that's what one of the gifts of Christmas. That's one of the gifts that we got in Jesus. He's our everlasting Father. He never dies. He never goes away. He's going to be there forever. He'll never, ever let you down. He'll never, ever cut you short. He loves you, and He's there for you. He's there for you. So much stability comes with a dad, with a father. The Bible says this in Romans 8:15, "For the Spirit that God has given you does not make you slaves and cause you to be afraid. Instead, the Spirit makes you God's children. And by the Spirit's power, we can cry out to God, Father, my Father." In other scriptures, in other translations of the scripture, it says like Daddy, Daddy. Abba is one of the most intimate ways that you could say Father, Abba, Father, Abba. It's something like, you know, that a young child would say to their father. And we can call our God our dad. Fathers support their children. And so we have received support in this gift. We've also received His name, right? We're His children. We've received His name. Everything that God has as His children now, we have. It's ours in Him. We have it now because He's our Father. We took His name. And He's watching us even as we open these gifts. And He wants you to be excited. There's nothing more disappointing than when someone gets a gift and they don't use it. There's nothing more disappointing than seeing somebody that has something that was given to them thoughtfully and then never use it. And sometimes as Christians, we're like that. Sometimes as people, we're like that. We don't take the gift. We don't actually accept or use the gift. We think it's, sometimes we just think it's too good and we set it somewhere and we don't use it because we're afraid if we use it, we'll damage it. But every gift that God gives you is for your use. He's your Father. The last thing, and it's not the least important, it's a big deal. I think it's one of the biggest deals, is this last one I want to talk about. It's that He's the Prince of Peace. We live in a crazy world. It's not peaceful. Like, I mean, even if there's no tragedy, even if there's no real struggle going on, just the world is so noisy. Did you ever notice that? Like, it's so noisy. Like, there's so many things. I feel sorry in a way, and I know my kids enjoy, and especially teenagers, young adults, they enjoy their technology. Right? They got their phones. They're texting. They're getting emails, they're calling, and they're never disconnected because it's always on. But Jesus came to give us peace. I think about the tragedy that happened last week in Newtown, in Connecticut, and I'm like, man, this is insane. This is crazy, and even amplified even more because it was Christmas time, right, that this happened. And I'm thinking, God, I'm so thankful that I have your peace. You know, like if I mean, I hug my boys lots, but like if I had a little 5 or 6 year old kid, I wouldn't have let him out of my arms for a month, I think, after that. Except that we have the peace of God. We could trust in Him. We could have peace. We don't have to be afraid because the Prince of Peace is the gift that He gave us. He wrapped up peace in the person of Jesus Christ and gave Him to you and to me. So no matter what's happening, whether, you know, there's rumors that you're going to lose your job or whether there's, you know, a bad report from a doctor, or no matter if even if you're in the middle of a big marital struggle and you just need something to give you peace, it's Jesus. He is peace. Rely on Him. Take the gift. Open the gift. It's yours. It's for you. Peace. Peace is not that there's never a trial. Peace is that you can have Jesus in the middle of the trial. And He'll be there with you and for you forever. So we get these gifts from God. And if I could encourage you about anything this weekend or challenge you this week, it's not the weekend anymore, but just to take your Bible, because there's so many gifts that God's laid out in His Word, so many great gifts that He's given us. We just need to take the Bible and open it and receive and accept it. He's our healer. He's our victory. He's our strength. He's our supply. He's like so many things about God that He gave to us in His person of Jesus, where before we were separated, now we come near. But God wants us to use the gifts. Gifts that are given, that are never used, are a shame. And I just want to give this invitation tonight, because I know there's some people maybe here that the greatest gift that Jesus came to bring on Christmas was the gift of salvation, of redemption from sin, to be able to stand clean and pure before God. Righteous, the Bible calls it. Right? Justified, just like you've never sinned. That Jesus came for that at Christmas time. He came so that you could be free from your sin and so that you could be connected to God again, so that you could have a relationship with God, which they couldn't have before that. So I just want to we're going to close in a little prayer here, but I just want to give you an opportunity tonight. If you don't know the Lord, we're going to pray a prayer. And if you pray it with your mouth and you believe it in your heart, this Christmas is going to be the best Christmas you ever had, because you're going to have Jesus, the real reason for the season, living in your heart and being with you all the time. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, I thank You that You came to this earth 2,000 years ago, that You were born, but You didn't stay a baby. You grew up. You lived a perfect life. You died a horrible death for me. Today, I ask You to cleanse me from my sin. I repent. I give up on my old life. I want to follow You. Come into my heart. From today and on, I want to live for You. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, have a Merry Christmas.